message, as the Father said Jesus, and yet apparently I didn't change the heading. On the right-hand side where the message is outlined, it's still got the divine gift, which was last week. But the devotional today is in fact, as the Father sent Jesus, so you are sent. At the top, on the right-hand side of your bulletin, a standing verse that we have every week, 1 Timothy 4:13. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, and to teaching. So there's a fairly lengthy portion of Scripture we're going to be reading today, and then we'll move through the outline. Luke chapter 1, inasmuch as many has undertaken to compile a narrative of the things that have been accomplished among us, just as those whom from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word have delivered them to us. It seemed good to me also, having followed all things closely for some time past, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus. This is the same individual that Luke writes to in the book of Acts, that you may have certainty concerning the things that you have been taught. In the days of Herod, the king of Judah, there was a priest named Zechariah. Zach, it was nice to hear you on drums today. And were you singing bass?
A little bit.
No, that was good. I appreciate that. Named Zechariah from the division of Abijah, and he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. They were both righteous before God. That's an important thing to note. They were righteous before God, walking blameless in all the commandments and the statutes of the Lord, but they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in years. It was not because of anything inappropriate in their life. They were righteous and walking uprightly before God. Verse 8, now while he was serving as a priest before God, when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. The whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense, and there appeared to him an angel of the Lord sitting on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. And I'll reiterate what I say all the time. Every time you say, see fear not in the Bible, it's too late. He was afraid. And the angel said to him, do not be afraid. You're late. Zechariah, for your prayers have been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great before the Lord, and he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, and to make ready for the Lord a people prepared. And Zechariah said to the angel, how shall I know this? For I am an old man and my wife is advanced in years. And the angel answered him, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you do not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time. There's a time for everything. Our son is working hard in secular work, and with COVID, it's tough, but he felt, and we believe, there's a call of God in his life, and I keep saying to him, in his time, there is a time. Verse 21, people were waiting for Zechariah. They were wondering at his delay in the temple, and when he came out, he wasn't able to speak to them, and they realized that he'd seen a vision in the temple, and he kept making signs to them and remained mute. And when his time for service was ended, he went to his home. After these days, his wife conceived, and for 5 months she kept herself hidden, saying, Thus the Lord has done for me in the days when he looked upon me to take away my reproach among people. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph in the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. We just pausing there for a second. In the Israeli culture, when a woman was betrothed to a man, they were regarded as married. And there was usually a period of about a year where the husband would prepare a dwelling for his bride, often in the yard of his father, and they would prepare. And then he would come unexpectedly, announcing his arrival with the sound of trumpets. And her task was to have everything ready for when he might appear. She didn't know when he would arrive. He wouldn't send a text message or an email or anything like that. So when the trumpet sounded, she had to be ready. And that's important to note, because elsewhere it says when Joseph found out that she was pregnant, he decided to put her away privately. And the angel told him not to do that. A bill of divorcement would have to be put in order. And he was going to do it privately, because technically at the betrothal, you were married. Now she'd been unfaithful. Punishment was stoning. He didn't want her dead. He was going to put her away privately. It's important for us to understand some of those concepts, this is highly significant. It's not just a matter. Like Lynn and I were engaged 3 weeks after we met, but we weren't allowed to get married during school term. And I had to wait until, I think it was 7 days after the grad service that we had our wedding. She could have broken it off at any time. You know, glad she didn't. So were the kids. Well, you wouldn't be here. Verse 28, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." And she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting it might be. And the angel said to her, here it is again, "Don't be afraid. Mary, you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." Why would she be afraid? Well, because the marriage hadn't been consummated. She was betrothed. She was wed, but it hadn't been consummated yet. And if she's pregnant before the consummation, she's eligible for stoning. I mean, like, this is good news, sort of. You know? "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great and be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angels, "How will this be? I'm a virgin." And the angel said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth is in her old age and has conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren." Helen, Ephesians 3:20. "Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think or imagine, according to the power that worketh in us." And the basis of that is verse 37, "For nothing will be impossible with God." What a profound verse. Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be unto me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. That's one of my favorite devotionals to teach on. If God's saying something to you, the normal response is fear, but hang on to it, because with God, nothing is impossible, and our response needs to grow and develop to the place that we say, "Be it unto me according to your word." In those days, Mary arose and went with haste to the hill country, the town of Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leapt in her womb. How did that line go on Facebook? You shared that last week. Yeah, John the Baptist. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud voice, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed there would be fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. And Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in my God, my Savior, for he has looked upon the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy for those who fear him from generation to generation." And that's you and I. That extends to us. "For he has shown strength with his arm, and he has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in the remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his offspring forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her home. And then over the page, or at least it is in my Bible, to chapter 2, verses 29 to 52. "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared a place for all people, a light of revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and the rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that the thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, the tribe of Asher, and she was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She had not departed from the temple." That's an unusual ministry, a very prolonged ministry, worshiping and fasting and prayer night and day. "And coming up at the very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak to him of all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own land of Nazareth. The child grew." That's what we want children to do, and that's why we pray for that baby. "The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and with the favor of God was upon him. Now, his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover." And now, I suspect that he had gone up with them prior to this, but this is unique. This is basically the year of Bar Mitzvah for the Jewish boy. It's the age of understanding. He's not just going with his parents on a trip, but he's going with his parents, and he's going to participate in Passover. "And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to the custom. And when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem." His parents did not know it. Well, Pastor, how could they not know it? Because it was a requirement. This is one of the three feasts of Israel that the men were to all attend. So they're going in a great caravan from Nazareth up to Jerusalem for the Passover. So they're going as a community of people. And they're leaving as a community of people. And you're just trusting, there's a statement, it takes a village to raise a child. This is kind of what's happening here. They assumed he was with them, but he wasn't. This is not blasphemy. The little rascal stayed behind. 44. "But supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey. But then they began to search for him among the relatives and the acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem searching for him." And I don't think they were going looking and saying, "This is the Son of God. We got to find him." I think they're saying, "Where is that boy?" You know? "After 3 days, they found him in the temple." You know? Now, I don't know if that was 3 days after they realized or if it was 3 days after they got back. So it's either 3 or 4 days total. But it's a little while. You know, where's he been sleeping? Where's he been eating? You know, who's, you know, he's 12. You know, after 3 days, they found him in the temple sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. So he wasn't just asking them and listening. He was contributing, and they were going, wow, you know. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress, anxiety, fear. And he said to them, why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house? And they didn't understand the saying that he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and every child should hear this, and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured all these things in her heart, and Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and favor with God and with men. And then in my Bible, you got to go over the page, maybe in yours too. chapter 3, verses 21 and 22, a little shorter reading. Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heavens were open, the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, you are my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. I don't know if he was well pleased with the part at age 12, but that's a real quick summary of the life of Jesus up to the baptism. The theme of the devotional today is, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. Consider how Jesus was sent. Luke 1:35, the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the Lord, the child to be born, will be called holy, the Son of God. You must be born again. We dealt with this the last couple of weeks. Jesus isn't just another infant. He is fathered by the Holy Spirit. He was born of God through the Virgin Mary. Very God and yet very man. Okay? We're going to look at that in just a second, pertaining to us. Luke 2:4, and the child grew and became strong and filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. We had a season in our life when Johnny was born. We prayed that he would grow. 2 pounds, half ounce. Kim wasn't comfortable going into the neonatal unit. Cheryl would go in. She was a little more comfortable with it. And I think that prepared you for when Nora was born, because she was less than normal weight, right? 314. But that looked big compared to Johnny, who was 2.2, you know. But they've grown. I love this little girl here. I love Lainey, too. But Lainey, I don't know if you noticed, a couple of weeks ago she was in here, she had these red shoes on, they look like skis. Yeah. And you're growing. And you got more to do yet. That's the anticipation we have for our children. Jesus grew. We don't think about it. You know, like, honestly, at the store, we got all kinds. We had a whole section of special food for babies. I don't think they had that back then. You know, those little squeezable tubes and, you know, and some of those, and like, there's one pea and prune combination. I'm sorry. I like some of that stuff, you know. Yeah. And you got the special little teething cookies for them. And we got the diapers. And we don't think of Jesus, the Son of God, coming so vulnerable. Remember years ago, we were dialoguing on the phone. You're watching the video of the giraffe going to give birth. You know, and it's like, what, a 6-foot drop? You know? They, yeah, yeah.
giraffe stands to give birth, and this thing's falling 6 feet. We don't do that with ours. You know? And they're standing within moments, you know, because there's predators out there, you know? And unfortunately, Lisa's not here today. But, you know, but you got to care for these little ones, right? There's a growing up. There's a training up. And Jesus went through all of that. We don't think about that. They had to change him. I mean, the vulnerability. We've been entrusted with the gospel. Mary and Joseph were entrusted with an infant. It's incredible. You know, my mind just goes everywhere, you know. Like, they had to bathe them, you know. He got circumcised, you know. He went through all those things for you and I. He didn't come into the world fully mature at age 30. Think about that. The love of God. In Philippians, it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Though he were equal with God, he did not regard equality with God something to be grasped, but he humbled himself. No kidding. Think about it. That's huge. And listen, if God can entrust that infant to us, he can take care of you. This is the bottom line. Where God's will and purposes are, you can't stop it. Luke 2:42, and when he was 12 years old, he went up according to the custom. And I put the question, is this the age of understanding? This is the normal time of Bar Mitzvah. I was looking some stuff up on the internet, and educators say that a child around the ages between something like 5 to 10 or something can start to grasp abstract concepts. You know? How does a child grasp God? You know? But here he is at 12. And this is the first time he's not attending a Passover. It's the first time he's participating in the Passover. Having come to an age of understanding. Such understanding that he's meeting with leaders in the temple, and he's listening to them talking, he's asking them questions, and then he's giving them answers, and they're dumbfounded. Like, where does this kid get this from? You got to understand that Jewish boys around the ages of 5 to 6, for at least 4 to 5 years, attended cheder, which is the school in the synagogues, and they learned the scriptures. And learning the scriptures, you have to understand the Hebrew language. Each of the letters is a number. So they learned mathematics. They learned, their education was that. He went through that. It was imparted to him. He didn't come with it all, you know, programmed into his mind. He learned it. And you and I have to learn. Okay? After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. Blew them away. You know? Luke 2:51-52. And he went down with them, and he came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in the favor of God and man. You know, we all have to learn how to be submissive. You know? And Ephesians talks about it. Ephesians 5. It says, be filled with the Spirit, speaking yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, not getting drunk with wine. And then the next portion says, submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord. Then we got this weird division. Just a little note in your Bible. But there's no division in thought. It says, wives, submit to your husbands. You know? Well, we like to pick up on that, men. Yeah, submit to me. Yeah. I got in trouble for this one time at a congregation. I said, my wife and I have only had one fight in our marriage. And then I didn't see her for about 2 weeks. And then just a little bit on my left eye. And I had a couple waiting for me in the foyer to give me heck. I said, listen, everybody else laughed. You know, it was humor. Get over it. You know, but we get this tendency that, you know, listen, folks, submission is not being a doormat. Headship with Christ means that when God's going to ask a question of a family, he's going to ask the dad first. He's responsible to answer. And the wife is the easer, picture of the Holy Spirit, one called along beside to help, one who comes with military power and might. That's the meaning of that Hebrew word, helpmeet, in Genesis. It is not a subservient role. It's a partnership. But if there's going to be a question to be answered, Josh, you've got to answer it first. And if you're smart, you'll consult with your wife. Or you might not see her for a couple of weeks. Now, when all the people, Luke 3:21 to 22. Now, when all people were baptized, and when Jesus had been baptized and was praying, the heavens were opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, you are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased. Other portions that said, you know, John the Baptist says, it's not right that I do this. And Jesus says, you need to do this to fulfill all righteousness for this. You know, it was a function that had to be done. It was not that Jesus needed to repent of anything, but it was Jesus identifying with humanity. He was setting an example for you and I. You know? No, that's how the Father sent the Son. So here he is about age 30, and he's baptized the Holy Spirit. He's born of the Spirit. He grows up, he matures, then he's baptized with the Spirit. The Spirit comes upon him. And then he starts his public ministry. And Jesus says in John, and that's in the introduction, John 20:19-23, specifically John 20:21, Jesus said to them again, peace be with you, as the Father has sent me, even so I'm sending you. That's why we looked at that quick snapshot of Jesus from birth to the baptism. To get an idea of how the Father sent him. That's how the Father is sending you and I. So here we go. We must all be born again of the living God. 1 Peter 1:23, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God. Listen, I was born a natural man and I was spiritually dead, but you know, over 40 years ago, I entered into a relationship with Jesus Christ and I was born again. You know, Nicodemus couldn't quite figure it out. It took me years to figure it out. But when I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, I was born again of the Spirit of the living God. Just as Jesus was born of the Spirit. So you are born of the Spirit. But listen, when we're born of the Spirit of God, when we become a Christian, we don't automatically get all knowledge of God's will and purposes. You know, Jesus had to grow in that. You know? This is he in all ways was tempted as we were, yet without sin. And he learned obedience through the things which he, now here's a verse that people don't claim, suffered. You know? And Peter says, don't regard it as some strange thing when fiery trials come upon you. It's for the perfecting of your faith. I'm growing. You're growing. Jesus grew. We participate in it. It's not downloaded into me automatically. You know? Wouldn't it be nice if it were? But it isn't. You know? As Jesus was born of the Holy Spirit, so are believers in Christ Jesus. And we, like the infant Jesus, need to grow. Hebrews 5:11-14 emphasizes this. And he says, look at, he says, how is it that you need someone to instruct you? You're at the point in your life that you ought to be teaching others. But I still have to give you milk. You're not ready for solid food because you're not hearing. You need to mature. You need to grow up. You know, ouch. You know. He grew in favor with God and man. Believers have favor with God. Luke 4:18-19. The Spirit of the Lord came upon me, is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. This is the year of the Lord's favor. When I'm praying for Dave, or I was praying for Wayne, or I'm praying for the baby, my prayer, I don't know how to pray sometimes. I really don't. You know, it's Romans 8 for me a lot of times. I don't know how to pray, but God intercedes with moanings and groanings that are too deep to be uttered. You know? Come on, you ever done that? Just sat in your chair at night? You know, and you're looking out the window in the darkness and you're praying for something, and all you do is go, Oh God. God, help Phil. You figured out what's going on with that stuff. I haven't got a clue. You know? Help Phil. You know? But you need to look at Isaiah 61 and verse 2. Proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Jesus quotes this portion, but he makes an interruption. He puts a period where in Isaiah there's a comma. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. Listen, there's a judgment coming. When he returns, he's going to judge the world. But right now, folks, it's the year of the Lord's favor. Receive it. Embrace it. Call upon it. You're not praying out of the will of God. He declares, this is the year of the Lord's favor. Jesus grew in wisdom and favor with God and man. We're to grow in the favor of God. God wants to do things in your life. Amen? Believers are instructed to study the Word of God, that we may be able to answer the world's questions. 2 Timothy 2:15. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. He wouldn't say rightly if you couldn't get it wrong. We can wrongly divide it. We're commanded to study, to rightly divide it. Elsewhere in Timothy, Paul says to him, be ready in season, out of season, to give reason for the hope that lies within you. That's my obligation in my life. Jesus submitted to his parents. My dad didn't know a lot of Bible verses. There was a couple of verses he knew. You know, spare the rod, spoil the child. He knew that one. You know, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction drives it far from him. You know, this whole idea you shouldn't spank a kid is like, you know, for me it's like 65 years too late. You know, I remember we were out doing a picnic one time. We were with other family members, and we were allowed to go and do some exploring, and we were supposed to be back by lunch. I was the oldest, so I was supposed to get everybody back. Uncle Doug and Aunt Em, the kids are back, you know, we thought they were lost, you know. My dad gives me the hunting knife to my brother and myself. He says, go cut yourself a switch. Because we were late. I knew my dad, so I cut a switch. My brother comes with some limp, you know, and you know, wet noodle. You know what my dad did? He looked at me, he says, you can go eat. Took the switch from me. He says, okay, son, you're coming with me. Took my brother and used my switch on him. Because I had been, and I, yeah, God is good. Yeah. Listen, whom the Lord loves, the Lord chastens. Amen? If you haven't been chastened, you better examine your heart. Yeah. Because there's none that is perfect. Have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the ones he loves and chastises every son who he receives. Jesus had to submit to his parents. And he grew. You know? I'm the teaching elder here, but listen, I work with elders and deacons, and they come up with suggestions. And if they got a point of correction, they'll tell me. They haven't had to tell me too much, you know. But my obligation, you know, I've heard something, well, I listen to God only. I got news for you. I got elders and deacons that God speaks to too, and I need to listen to them. Hello? Come on. We're all supposed to be, every one of you submit to one another in the fear of the Lord. You know, that's a requirement. And that conditions my growth, you know. Jesus went through that. As the Father sent him, so I, Jesus says, I send you. Expect to be disciplined. And if you're not disciplined, listen, the old King James Version is harsh. It says, if you're not disciplined in the Lord, then you're a bastard. You know, I'm not swearing. That's the old English word for illegitimate. You're not really a son at all. I know I'm a son because I've been disciplined. You know, happens on a pretty regular basis. Yeah. Before Jesus began his public ministry, the Holy Spirit came upon him. Before the disciples began their public ministry, the Holy Spirit came upon them, Acts 2. Believers are encouraged to be renewed in the Holy Spirit continuously. Ephesians 5:18. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. And in the Greek tensing there, it's be ye continually being filled. It's not a one-time thing. You all saw me spill my coffee on my tie this morning. This cup doesn't stay continuously being filled. I take it down, then I have to go refill it. As you walk with God, the presence of God oozes out from you. Out of your innermost being will flow rivers, plural, of living water. There's an outflow. But where there's an outflow, there needs to be an inflow to keep the outflow going. Are you with me? We need to, you know, I'm old Pentecostal, you know. Well, praise God, brother, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit in 1948. What's happened since? There needs to be a continual filling. I had one dear old saint say to me, I've been in the way for 40 years, and I thought, you sure have. She's like a pillar, immovable. You know, we're supposed to be on the way, not in the way. You know, I need a continual refilling of the Holy Spirit. We're going to pray in just a moment for Phil, because you two, you need a continual. Are you guys responsible now for doing the programming? Who's going to do it? Yeah. And listen, where God leads, God enables. You know? And there's times that we're going to feel terrified. Fear not. Too late, Pastor. I know. As the Father sent the Son, so the Son sends every one of us. Born of the Spirit, growing up into maturity, learning to be submissive, and submitting ourselves to a fresh anointing regularly, if not multiple times during the day, daily at least.